Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Now we're giving it up, but I want to hear y'all talk to the Lord and give y'all praise, because hallelujah is the highest praise. Can I hear you?
Been through trials and tribulations, been the talk of conversation, been abused with no direction, through it all found consolation, knowing that my Father loves me, He gave just to show me, even when I'm feeling lonely, He's always there. I am a testimony, and it's by the grace of God. Been through ups and downs, been all around, but I'm still here. I am a testimony for all men to see. God is still working miracles today. God is still working miracles today.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Virtuous Wives Network. It is a blessing to have you all here, and I thank God for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It is another wonderful day in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Master, praise the Lord, is still on the throne. He still rules, praise God, and He still reigns. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord, our God. Well, I would like to welcome you to the Virtuous Wives Network, praise the Lord, where we are lifting up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For we know through the Word of God and through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, that he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Praise God. And so we always want to lift up Jesus, praise God, in this ministry, because we know that it is through Jesus Christ that all things that he allows to be done, that he allows to be spoken, hallelujah, Jesus, come from and through him. Amen. As we're using the word of God and his word, who he is, in order to express what he wants to say concerning marriage, praise the Lord, and concerning what God has to say about the covenant, about the relationship that he established before the foundation of the world. Amen. He had on his mind putting a man and a woman together so that they could become husband and wife. And he established, praise the Lord, a way of living amongst them that they would live together in unison, that they would live together in unity, they would live together in harmony, one with another. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. And that the woman, I like the way, praise God, I believe the Amplified Bible says it, would complement the man. Amen. It's not that he was not made, praise God, the way that he needed to be. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we were a great addition. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not a subtraction. Amen. Glory to God. We were created and brought forth to add to what God had already made him to be and not to take away from what he was, amen, and who he was as a man, as God created and fashioned and formed him to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. I see I have Minister Bonnie Howell here with me. Praise the Lord. Woman of God, I'm going to open your microphone here in the studio. Praise God. You're open, woman of God. How are you?
Oh, praise the Lord. Doing fine. How are you?
Amen. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have you here and to hear your voice. And I thank God for you and what he's about to do through me and you here today. Praise
Amen.
God. Hallelujah. I tell you, God took me today through 1 Samuel chapter 25.
Amen.
And it was such a blessing to me. You know, and so I decided to say, you know what, God, I want to use that where you led me to for the Virtuous Wives Network tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I believe God was saying, hallelujah, Abigail is a woman that gets looked over. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about a virtuous woman, we look at Ruth, praise the Lord, and we look at Mary, hallelujah, because, you know, God said that, you know, Hail Mary, mother full of grace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the angel said to Mary, praise God. You know,
Amen.
He was saying, hey, God's got grace upon you, Mary. You know, you're somebody that he chose, you know, somebody that he knew could carry out what he chose you to do. He knew that you would be obedient. He knew that you would accept the assignment that he had given you. And not many could have done what Mary did. Amen? Not
Amen.
Many women could have heard the things that the angel was saying and said, well, Lord, be it unto me as you would have it. Praise God. Not many women could carry out what Mary had been given the assignment to do. And so we see her as a virtuous woman. Praise God. And we look at Ruth, praise God, as a virtuous woman. We look at Esther as a virtuous woman. But tonight we came to talk about Abigail.
Mm.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That's cool.
Because I think that she gets looked over. Amen. And I'm not saying other people don't talk about her. But what I'm saying is we don't showcase her worth enough. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't showcase the value of having a woman, praise God, that the Bible says was of a good understanding. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, Jesus. She knew what to do when it was time to do it. Praise
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to say it just like that. A woman with a good understanding knows what to do when it's time to do it. She knows
Amen.
When to move. She knows when to act. Praise God.
Amen.
When trouble or danger comes, she doesn't just sit idly by, praise God, and wait for something to take place. She gets on her face, praise the Lord, before God and says, all right, God, I can't do this, but you can. Jesus, you said I can do all things through you who strengthened me. So show me what to do. Show me what to say. Show me how to move. Show me where to go. Guide me through the Holy Ghost. Show me the way. Teach me. Bring me about into that place of that valley where I'm eating milk and honey so that I will have what I need in order to do what is asked of me or required of me as a woman of virtue, as a virtuous woman, as a woman of wisdom. But I can only do what you show me to do. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Praise God. But today we came to look at, praise the Lord, and discuss Abigail. So if you'll go with us, people of God, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And I'm placing in the chat room www.BibleGateway.com. And for those who did not hear me the first time, that site is www.BibleGateway.com. Glory to God. And we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 25. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But before we get there in 1 Samuel chapter 25, keep your finger there if you're already there in your Bible. Praise the Lord. And go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I tell you that what God showed me as I studied this word today was just, you know, it was so amazing how God can use a woman to help herself as well as to help the person who she's in a situation with. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
God gave her the good understanding. Praise God. Because
amen.
Jesus made it very clear. Every good thing comes from God. He made it very clear. Outside of him saying, praise God, that there is no one good but God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. So for her to have a good understanding, that means God had to give it to her.
Amen.
She didn't have it of herself. God gave her a good understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, so we're looking at Proverbs 18 and verse 22, and it says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And Minister Howell, if you can just minister there for a moment, I will be right back.
Amen. Praise God. Proverbs 18 and 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Glory to God. Obtaineth favor of the Lord. Glory to God. And we know a wife, that word wife, I want you to highlight that in your Bible. Wife. A lot of us today don't know what a wife is. A lot of us today don't know what a wifely duties are. Glory to God. But we need to know what the word wife really means. Wife means you are a helpmeet unto your husband. A wife means that you're going to be there through thick and thin. Glory to God. A wife is one that has wisdom, that know how to be there for a husband in a time of need. So those are the characteristics of a wife. So that word wife is very, very important. And a man that findeth a wife that has these characteristics findeth a good thing. Glory to God. If a man findeth a so-called wife that, praise God, that tears down her household, that takes her business out of her house and bring it to her house, that's not a woman of wisdom. That's not a good wife. Hallelujah. A good wife buildeth her house and not tear it down. Oh, we thank God for Prophet Morgan. Glory to God. We thank God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. The man is in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Ah, so that's what I had to say on that prophecy.
Thank you, Jesus. As we're looking at this wise woman, as we're looking at a woman who operates in the wisdom of God, praise God, because when we're looking at a woman who is tearing her house down, she's not operating in the wisdom of God.
Oh, no.
She's operating in the wisdom of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she was operating in the wisdom of God, she would know that she's supposed to build her house and not tear her house down. She does not yet understand
that, so true.
That it takes God as a foundation to build her marriage. Without God as the foundation of that marriage, it is destined to fail.
Mm-hmm.
It is destined to be in ruin. It is destined to be destroyed because your foundation is not the Lord. Your foundation is not the Word of God. Your foundation is not the will of God in that marriage. And when you're tearing your house down, praise God.
Ah, mama.
God never established a relationship to be torn down. He never established the marriage covenant to be divided, to be destroyed, to be torn apart. He established a relationship so that it could come together, so that it could be unified, so that there could be harmony. Hallelujah. So in order for her to tear her house down, that means she does not have the wisdom of God concerning her marriage and maybe even her life, praise God. And I'm not saying that she doesn't have God in her life. I'm saying concerning her marriage, praise the Lord, she needs God's wisdom in order to tell her how to handle, praise God, what she will be facing on a day-to-day basis. She needs God's wisdom in order to do what is right, what is acceptable, and what is pleasing in the sight of the Father. You need the wisdom of God in order to do that. And if you're not going to God for that guidance or that teaching, then you're operating in the wisdom of the world. You're operating out of how you know to handle the situation, which is not in any way, shape, or form, praise God, excuse me for laughing, I mean, but it's not in any way the way that God would handle a situation. The way we can naturally do things is no way near or close to the way God would handle something. The way we look at a situation is nowhere near the way God sees things. It takes him to show us what he sees in order for us to see what he sees. Because we don't have that ability in and of ourselves. He has to reveal it. Praise the Lord. You ready to preach? Amen. She woke up just in time. She said, I know something's going down. You trying to preach without me. Let me get on up out this bed. It's preaching time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so God wants you to know, when you find a wife, praise God, a wife that God has led you to, a wife that God is using and is working on, praise God, because every woman needs some work. Amen. It's like going to the beauty salon or praise God, to the nail shop. Amen. Or going to the clothing store and getting a new shirt or a new pair of shoes or a new blouse, a new skirt, a new pair of pants, every woman can use some tweaking. Oh, come on now. Every woman, praise God, has a certain way of looking when you put something new on her. Oh, come on now. You find a whole new beauty in her, praise God, that you didn't see before. You're like, oh, my goodness, you look good in orange. I mean, that really brings out your complexion, the color of your eyes. You didn't notice that when she was wearing blue. But when she put on that orange outfit, you said, oh, my goodness, is that Susan? She looks amazing. That's the same Susan when she was in the blue. Praise God. But all she did was tweak herself and put on some orange. And you found a new beauty in her just by her wearing a different color. Amen? Just by her wearing a different hairstyle, you're like, oh, my goodness, I didn't notice you had dimples in your cheeks. That's cute. I didn't notice your eyes were beautiful. That brown is really beautiful. You begin to find things that you didn't see before. Amen. So a man that finds a woman, praise God, a woman that God is working on, that he's beautifying, a woman that he's using, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus, a woman that he has poured his anointing on, he findeth a good thing, amen, because we know only good things come from God, hallelujah, and the Bible says he obtains favor from God. He finds, oh God, a woman, praise God, that is a blessing to his life. But not only does he find a blessing that God has given him, amen, but he also gets favor from God by finding his good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. By seeing what God sees and receiving a woman who is a blessing to him, he receives favor from God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that is a wonderful thing. It is good to know that when I see what God sees, hallelujah, in his daughter, praise the Lord, God says, as a man, when you see, let me put it in your words, rather, I said I'm a woman, but I meant you as a man. When you see in a woman or in his daughter what he sees, and you really see the beauty in her, her true inner beauty, praise God, as well as her outer beauty, glory be to God, God says, I will give you favor because you now see her the way I see her. You now receive from me a gift. And I'm going to give you favor because of it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Now let's roll over, praise the Lord, glory to God, into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25. I see you, Minister Howell. Hallelujah. Your mic is open.
Okay.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us roll over into 1 Samuel chapter 25. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Praise the Lord. I hope and pray that you guys kept a finger there in your Bible. But if you didn't, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Turn with us right now to the chapter of 1 Samuel 25, or to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together, and they lamented him. They were grieved. They cried. Praise God. Amen. Yes. You know the prophet Samuel. Amen. And they buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man that was in Maon, was Nabal. And the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doing. And he was of the house of Caleb. Hallelujah. Now you see, even in the beginning of this chapter, praise God, it introduces Abigail as a woman with good understanding and a beautiful woman. Hallelujah. But when it talks about Nabal, that man that had great possessions, who had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, praise God, it introduces him as a churlish and evil man in his ways. Amen? Because when the Bible says in his doing, that means in his ways, in the things that he did. Praise God. But it shows you that Abigail did not operate, amen, in the same way that Nabal did, even though that was her husband. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it proves to you that you can be married to someone that acts in a total different way from you. Now, you can be a wise woman. You can be a quiet woman. You can be a woman that is good to others and you out of your heart, out of what God has showed you to do and how he has helped you and loved on you and you're loving on others. But that man that you're with doesn't operate in the same way. Oh, come on, somebody. He doesn't understand why you would be good to somebody. Oh, come on now.
Oh, mama.
He doesn't have anything good to say about, praise God, going to church. He doesn't have anything good to say about you taking in somebody else's child. Oh, come on now.
All right now.
He doesn't have anything good to say about you letting your family members come stay with you because they don't have a place to live now and, you know, they need to dwell with you. He doesn't have that. Praise the Lord. Preach, woman of God. He doesn't have anything good to say about, amen. Yeah, he's a mean man, ain't he? Yes. Hallelujah. And the definition of the word churlish says rude in a mean-spirited and surly way. He got a bad disposition. He's vulgar. Oh, come on now. Got a bad attitude about situations and people and things. I don't know why you helping your sister out. She ain't going to do nothing but turn around and use you anyway. I don't know why you want to take care of somebody else's child anyway. That's not our responsibility. Give her to the state. Let her go to a foster home. We can't take care of her. Oh, come on now.
Mama.
Glory to God. Or he says mean and ugly things to the child. I don't know why she want to take you in this house anyway. You're too ugly to live in here. You messing up the atmosphere and the beauty in this house with your ugly face. Amen. I know that is mean, right? Yes. Very mean. Amen. She fired up about that. She said, don't do that. Praise God. She said, you don't do women like that. You don't do a woman like that. Praise the Lord. But it shows that Abigail was not like him. Even though she was with him. Oh, come on, somebody. She was not like him. Even though she was with him, she wasn't, praise God, a nasty person. So come on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you there, Prophet Z? Hello? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Prophetess V? Amen. We're talking about Abigail tonight. Glory to God. And her husband, Nabal. Glory to God. And she was nothing like her husband. Glory to God. Her husband had a different attitude, a different way about himself. But Abigail was one of good understanding. She had a beautiful countenance by her. She was a very beautiful lady. Glory to God. And her beauty and her inside matched up, glory to God, with her inside. Her beauty on the outside matched up on with the beauty on the inside of her. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Prophet Z?
Yes, woman of God, I'm here.
Amen. We lost you there for a minute, so I was just trying to say something till you come back on.
Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We see that you can live with someone. You can be married to someone. The total opposite of who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that the way that they are,
uh-huh,
praise God, does not affect or infect you.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
It has not contaminated you.
Mm.
Praise God. You can still see a light. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the tunnel. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You don't see everything as bad or evil or, you know, everything is just going down here. The house is just burning down. There's no way to get out. We just got to stay here in this burning house. Amen.
Mm.
Oh, no, there's a way out. Praise God.
Amen.
And that way out is through the Lord God and Jesus. Hallelujah. There is an answer to your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. But we don't look for a natural answer to that problem. We look for the answer from the Father. Because he answers all things. He has a solution for every problem. He knows what we need to be doing. He knows how to take us around, praise God, and get us through. Hallelujah, Jesus. But let's continue, so praise the Lord. The woman of God can get loose on the floor and, man, take her shoes off and go at it. Praise God. It says, hallelujah, Jesus. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name.
Mm-hmm.
And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
See, David understood, you know what? God has prospered what you have. He's allowed it to increase and grow.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of sheep over here. Praise God. And a lot of goats. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So you have enough. You got more than enough. Amen?
Mm.
Glory to God. He said, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast.
Mm.
See, he came in peace. Hallelujah, Jesus. He did not come, praise God, to have any division. He did not come to have any division. He didn't come to fight. He came in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And he was speaking good and well to Nabal. He sent his servants to say something good to him. and to let him know that everything was well. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, okay, see, now David's telling him, this is the situation that concerns you and me that you had no knowledge of. You didn't know. It says, your shepherds were with us, and we hurt them not. So we didn't do them wrong. We didn't take from them what you had given them. We didn't take anything that belonged to you. It says, neither was there aught missing unto them, anything missing. All the while they were in Carmel. David is saying, we were with them and helped them and could have hurt them and done something wrong to them and took from them what they had, but we didn't. Oh, come on now. He said, ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes.
Mm-hmm.
For we come in a good day. Okay, come on, somebody say a good day. Hallelujah.
Thank
he says,
you.
I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and they ceased. They didn't say nothing more or nothing less than what David had told them to say. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master.
Mm.
Now, you would think that his reaction would have been different from a man saying, I help you keep everything that you had. I could have taken from your servants what they had, but I didn't allow any harm to come to them, nor did I cause any harm to them.
Mm.
And the reason why they were in peace is because I protected them. Oh, come on, somebody. And yet, the first thing that comes out of Nabal's mouth is, well, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? When somebody comes that way directly to you, you know already there is, those are fighting words. I'm going to say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is not in his mouth, okay? Because David came in peace. He said in verse 11, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh? Oh, come on now.
Mm.
We done said my three times.
Uh-huh. My.
Jesus! Johnny Gill wasn't the first one to say it. Praise God! Nabal said my three times. It's my bread and my water and my flesh. It belongs to all of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you saying that you helped them keep everything I had, and, but it's mine. I don't owe you any. Oh, come on, somebody.
My.
I don't owe you anything. I don't have to give you anything because it all belongs to me anyway. I'll be right back, Minister Howell. Continue, woman of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I kind of got thrown off there. Prophetess Zia, you there? Well, praise God. We have a very, very interesting topic on tonight, talking about Abigail. Glory to God, a woman of good understanding. Glory to God, a woman knew what to say and knew what to do at the right time. Glory to God, she was a wife to Nabal. Glory to God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. And we see, as Prophetess Z continued this story about Abigail, how Abigail stepped in, glory to God, using her good understanding,
and stood in the gap for her husband. Oh, my God, what a woman, what a woman. We thank God on tonight about this lesson here on Abigail. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is so good, and he's worth it to be praised. We need to be women of good understanding. Hallelujah. Women that know when to say things and when not to say things. Women that needs to really understand their spouses, who they are living with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How to deal with somebody that has an attitude different from yours, a different character different from yours. You have to know how to deal with that. Glory to God. We truly thank God because we are learning something here on tonight. Glory to God. I think we left on verse 8. It says, ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, and to thy servant, and to thy son David. Hallelujah. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal, according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. My God.
You left off on verse 11, Minister Howell.
You're on 11? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I was kind of doing something. I was listening, you know, but I was kind of for praise God, you're on 11. Hallelujah.
Yes,
so
we're looking at what it says up here in verse, let's see here, verse 3. But the man, Nabal, was churlish and evil in his doing.
Uh-huh.
And then you go down to verse 11 where it says, what did he say to David's servants? Shall I then take my bread and my water and
my
flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not where they be? I don't know where you come from. I don't know who you are.
No,
I know that you say that you were out there and you were with my men and, you know, you helped them and you kept them from being in harm and danger, but I don't know you. And I don't recognize you as anybody with any kind of authority. You know, the sheep are mine, the goats are mine, everything I have is mine. I don't owe you anything. Because you look what he said. What did he say? What verse is that? Praise God. What verse is that? Verse 10, and who is David?
who is he?
I don't even recognize you. I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who you are. You come from where? Who?
Now you want to take
but
my
I'm Nabal, and I have. You can go back up where it tells you what he had. A man of great possessions. He had 3,000 sheep. And 1,000 goats. I have 3,000 sheep. I have 1,000 goats. Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Which meant that they had to tell him who David was. They had to tell him. Because he had to ask, well, who is David? You telling me about David. Who is David? David is the son of Jesse. Well, who? I don't know him. And I don't recognize him. And I don't owe him anything. And I don't have to give him anything. And that's what he's telling them, like, I don't know, you know, what you came here for, but the bread, water, and the beasts are mine. They all belong to me. And why should I give what I would give to my servant to you and yours? For what purpose? What reason? What does that serve me? How does it serve me to give you what belongs to me?
Mm-hmm.
So you look at, when we go down into verse 12, so David's young men turned their way and went again, and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. Now look at what happened. They came back and said, this is what Nabal said. And he said, immediately after they reported to him, what Nabal said, is that gird ye every man their sword. So his intent was to go over there and show Nabal who David is and who the son of Jesse is. If you don't know who I am, I'm coming to show you who David and the son of Jesse is. He said, every man, gird ye on your sword. You don't tell a person to bring a weapon of warfare if you don't intend to fight. You don't say, everybody grab your guns, grab your knives, you know, grab your spears, grab your arrows, grab your bow. You don't tell people to get things that they don't intend to use. So they were intending to go use those swords where Nabal was. Because he had just disrespected David. When David sent those men, his servants, to say what, Minister Howe? You go back up and he said what? Peace be to you. Peace be to your house. Peace be to everything that you have.
Mm-hmm.
He came the right way. But it tells us in verse 8, praise God, I'm sorry, in verse 3, that Nabal was a churlish man, and evil in his doing. He was a mean-spirited and nasty man. What he had was for him alone and nobody else.
He was very selfish.
Yes, he was.
My.
Oh, come on. And David said, let's go. We're going to go over there where he is.
Uh-huh.
And then you look at, let's look at verse 13, the end of it. And there went up after David 400 men.
400.
And 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, oh, come on now. We introduce this woman with good understanding again. And it's not by accident that one of the young men told Abigail what was about to happen. Because God always sends you a warning.
Yes, he does.
He sends you somebody to say, hey, listen, this man over here is coming to tear down your whole house. Arm yourself. You need to know what to do because he's coming. And what does it say? Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he wailed on them. What did he do? He was mean to them. He said all kind of nasty things to them. He was very rude. And what did it say, verse 15? This is one of the servants says, but David's men were very good to us. And we were not hurt. Neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them. As long as we talked to them and were with them, they protected and took care of us while we were taking care of Nabal's business. Look at that, though. He's saying, listen, we were out here doing what we were told to do, but the only reason why we were safe doing what we were told to do is because of David and his men. And look at what this man is now saying back to somebody who helped him keep everything he had, you know, while he's talking about his bread and his water and his flesh that he would not have had David not protected his servant.
My Lord.
So when you see verse 3, it really does tell you about what Nabal's character was like and how he went about doing things. And what does it say here? It says, when we were in the field, they were a wall unto us, both by night and day. All the while we were with them keeping the sheep. He said, look, they stood with us night and day, protecting us on every side. He says, now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. You can't even tell him anything good because he doesn't have anything good to say. He can't hear good. All he can hear is what's evil. If David would have came to him in fighting terms, he would have accepted those words. He can't accept good words if somebody doing him good. It says, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves. Now, look what happened after that. She heard what was supposed to happen to her and to Nabal and to their servant and probably family and children. And she decided, I got to do something about this. I can't leave this the way it is. And she took 200 souls and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. She sent all of the goodness, all of the blessings, the peace offering. She sent that before her.
Mm.
But look what it says at the end of verse 19. But she told not her husband Nabal. Sometimes you got to do things that you can't tell your husband.
Amen.
Because if he's not in agreement with what is right and what is good, you can't tell him. He's going to stop you from doing what you need to do in order to keep you both in peace and safety. I know that sounds funny because you're like, oh, no, the man is the head of the household and he's in charge. And he's, yeah, but you know what? If he's not making the right decision for the household, okay, well, we're going to get funny, right? If he's leading you to a place where you're going to be dead, are you going to go with him and die because he's the head of the household?
No, Lord.
I mean, if he's leading you to a place, he over here, he wants to go fight this guy who obviously has a gun with you and your children in the car. And you say, well, you know what? He's the man, and I'm going to follow him. To where? To death? I mean, do you expect God to say, well, you know what? Everything is good over here. You go with him. He's going to go over there with the gun. Everybody's going to be safe and okay, and you're going to walk away from this. No, because you have an opportunity to stop him from doing something that's going to destroy everybody in the whole family. Or is he just the head of the household? I mean, come on. We're going to get real tonight. Or is he just the head of the household? Even though you see the ship going down like the Titanic, are you going to stay on the boat and drown going down in the water with the ship? Or are you going to try to save yourself and your children? Because you see danger coming. It's not like you don't see it. You see it. It's up to you to make a wise choice. And
Amen.
She did. Abigail made a wise choice.
Yes, she did.
So what does the rest of it say? It says, and she rode, and as it was, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert on the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her. She put herself in harm's way. What if David didn't receive her peace offer? What if he didn't listen to anything that she was about to say?
Mm-hmm.
And we see this also in the story of who? Esther.
Mm-hmm.
Going in to the king when she was not called for.
Uh-huh.
And what did Esther do? She prepared a feast. She was putting good before what she had to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing that Abigail did.
Yeah.
It says, and she met them. Now, David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow has in the wilderness. I helped him, and I made sure he kept everything he had.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that in vain. So that nothing was missing of all that pertained unto him. I made sure he had everything that he came with. I made sure he didn't miss anything. Nobody took nothing from him. Nobody killed him in his service, took his sheep. I mean, he had everything that he went out with, he came back with.
Mm-hmm.
And he has requited me evil for good.
Mm.
I've done him nothing but good, but look, he's looking to do me evil. I've helped him, and he's not looking to give me anything in return.
Mm.
So why did I help him? For what? I could have just let his servants be harmed. Because obviously if you're in the wilderness, there's some harm out there. But I didn't. It says, so, and more also do God unto the enemies of David. If I leave of all that pertains to him by the morning like any that pisses against the wall. Now, that's what the words say. I'm not using any kind of slang. It say pisses against the wall. Okay? That's what the word says. He said, if I leave anybody alive by the morning, everybody's going to die. Everybody is dead because Nabal, who was supposed to be a David right because David did him right, decided, I'm not going to give you anything because I don't owe you nothing. And David went to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ash and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. She humbled herself before him.
Yes, she did.
He was getting ready to kill everybody, and she did an act of submission and bowed her face to the ground. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. She took that upon herself, and she didn't even do anything wrong. It was Nabal. And look how she's taken upon herself what her husband did. And she said, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. There's something to that name, I guess.
Yeah.
It says, Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. He wants to do wrong. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. She said, listen, you know, he wants to do wrong, and, you know, he didn't look to give you anything that you should have had, but I didn't see them. I didn't know about this. She's coming the correct way. She's coming and saying, listen, let's make this right. Let's make what has went wrong, let's make it right. She says, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, she's talking about God now, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord has withholding thee from coming to shed blood, now he know that she's not just speaking about her, she's speaking through the Holy Ghost now. And from avenging thyself with thine own hand, because he was coming to get justice by his own hand, not by God. It says, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. She said, listen, I don't have nothing to do with it. I'm separating myself. Because I'm trying to do what is right here. And I want you to know I didn't have any part in doing wrong to you. Nor did I have any knowledge about it. It says, and now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, did even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. She said, listen, I brought you a blessing. I brought all of this as a peace offering, and I want to give it to you. Receive about to give, because I came to help and be of assistance, unlike my husband. Came the right way for the right reason. She says, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. I want you to see, and I'm looking at this, reading this earlier, I said, look how she keeps saying it was her. And it was him. She didn't do anything wrong. But she kept saying, forgive me for the trespass. Forgive me for the iniquity. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. She's saying things that she should really have not known about. It says, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in thee all thy days. She could not have known what she said. How would she know evil was not found in David all his days? How would she know that? It says, yet a man is risen to pursue thee. Who's she talking about? Saul. And to seek thy soul. How would she know that? It says, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. She's saying, listen, even though Saul is pursuing and seeking you and trying to kill you, your soul is in life. You're going to have abundant life. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. God's going to cast them right away from you. How would she know these things?
My
she
Lord.
Wouldn't know these things unless God had revealed it to her through the Holy Ghost. It says, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good. Oh, come on. All the good. I like that. That he hath spoken concerning thee and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She's saying, listen, when God do every good and wonderful thing that he has already promised and told you he's going to do, verse 31, that this shall be no grief unto thee. Don't look back on this situation right here, is what she's saying, and have grief. Nor offense of heart unto my Lord. Don't take offense to what has already happened. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless. She's saying, listen, God is about to do all these wonderful and good things for you. Don't let this be a grief to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let this be an offense to you.
Jesus.
So that you shed blood for no reason. It says, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. Don't take matters into your own hands. Let God avenge you.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. She said, look, at I brought you everything that I brought as a blessing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to you knowing what you were coming to do. But when you get to that place that God's taking you to, remember me. Remember what I did today.
Mm-hmm.
And what does David say to her? And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. He said, he acknowledging, she didn't just come on her own. God stopped him from doing what he was going to do.
Amen.
It was because of the wisdom of God that showed her everything that she needed to do in order to stop what he was coming to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou, bless you and the advice that you just gave, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood avenging myself with mine own hand. He said, bless you and your advice, and this day that God has stopped me from shedding blood and avenging myself with my own hand.
Mm-hmm.
Taking matters into my own hands instead of letting God deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for in very deed as the Lord God of Israel lives, which has kept me back from hurting thee. He said, listen, God stopped me from killing you. I was going to kill everybody in his house. Nobody was going to live. Except thou hast hasted and come to meet me. God made you get up and move quickly.
Because
if you would have waited, I would have came and killed everybody.
Everybody.
He said, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning like any that sits up against the wall. I would have wiped everybody out. It says, so David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. He says, thank you for what you did. I received you and what you gave to me. Go in peace.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and Abigail came to Nabal, her husband, and behold, he had held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk, and he was drunk.
Mm.
Wherefore, she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning. She knew not to talk to him while he was drunk.
Amen.
That was not a good idea. Mm. To tell somebody who's happy and drunk what you just did to the person that he just said, I'm not going to give you anything. It says, but it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone.
Mm.
And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. It's telling you in these two verses, God gave him a heart attack. That's what it's telling you. If you look at it again, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Verse 38, and it came to pass after 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. God did what happened to him. God made that happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal. And hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to be his wife. So her acting and reacting in the wisdom of God had her to become David's wife. After her husband had died, now she's going to be the wife of the king to be. It says, and when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to be his wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Look how low she was facing herself. Let me wash the feet of your servant. not even just to be a servant, I'm going to wash the feet of the servant. And Abigail hastened and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife.
Mm-mm-mm.
How did she become his wife? Because she did what God showed her to do. She moved in the wisdom of God because her husband was going to allow her to die with him. If she would have just said, okay, he's a man, he knows what to do. If he said he's not going to give David nothing, he's not going to give David nothing, and I'm standing with him, she would have died with him. She would have never became David's wife. But she acted quickly, and she moved with God when God was moving and said everything that the Holy Ghost told her to say. And because she brought those gifts also, that peace offering, even though her husband died, she was alive. And she became David's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Which shows you what it says about her in the beginning. If we go all the way back up to the top,
mm-hmm.
where it says in verse 3, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding. She knew what to do. She knew the right thing to do. She knew that what her husband was doing wasn't right. And
uh-huh.
she knew she had to act. She had to move. She had to make right what he had did.
Mm-hmm.
Because her servant had already told her, listen, this man is coming to kill you
mm-hmm.
and everybody, along with your husband,
uh-huh.
because of the evil that he's trying to do to him when he did your husband nothing but do it. And he protected us and he kept us and they were with us and they were good. I mean, how could you be evil to somebody who's doing you good? But he was. And she didn't go down with him.
No, she didn't.
You know, the ship is sinking. She didn't go down with a sinking ship.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to put on her life jacket and live. She wanted to live. Because she knew he was going to die.
Yes, sir.
All right, woman of God, the glory is yours.
Amen. I tell you, it's good to have good understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, because I tell you, when that man came to her and told her that David was coming with 400 men, woo,
uh-huh.
my God. So she did some quick thinking, and she did as the Lord told her to do, and she used good wisdom at that time, and she was able to save a lot of people's lives, including herself.
Yes.
So we have to be women of wisdom.
Amen. You got to know when it's time to move. Because you can't just sit and die. Because you feel like, okay, this is my husband, and I'm fighting with him. And he's fighting for the wrong cause. He's doing something that's wrong to somebody who did something right. And if you have any wisdom of God in you, and as it said that she was a woman of good understanding, you would have known that you could not go along with what he was saying.
Mm.
You know for a fact, you know, he's not doing what's right. It's like somebody works for you, and you decide that you're not going to pay them. Because you just don't, you know. I don't owe you anything. Yeah, you took care of my business, and, you know, you made the business grow, and you stopped people from breaking into my business, and but I'm not going to pay you because I don't owe you nothing. It's wrong. You owe that person something. You should rightfully give them because they were good to you. But what he was saying was, I don't care what you did, and I don't care if you helped me. You know, because really, you didn't really help me.
Oh,
that's what he was trying to say.
Uh-huh.
You didn't really help me.
Mm.
I did that myself. I sent them. They did what I told them, and you didn't help me. Okay, I see we got Prophet Morgan. I don't know if he wants to speak, but I'm going to open up his mic.
Amen.
Prophet, did you have anything you wanted to say? Prophet Morgan?
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
No, it didn't. Not at this time. I'm just enjoying the fellowship.
Okay. Amen. I'm going to close you back out. Minister Howell, the floor is yours.
Amen. I tell you, Prophetess V, pretty much everything has been wound up, and I just thank God we have to be women of wisdom and understanding. We have to do it the way God say do it. And when we move at the right time, we will see, glory to God, that everything will work in our behalf. Glory to God. This woman, I tell you, I can imagine if everybody really knew what she did, hallelujah, she would she would have been their queen, glory to God, because she saved many, many people's lives. And we truly thank God that's what we have to be today, women of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And that understanding comes from God. It's nothing that we earn on ourselves. It comes from the Lord. All good and perfect gifts, just like Prophet V said, come from the Lord. Glory to God. We have to give him praise in all things. Hallelujah. We can't get the big head in nothing that God give us. We just give him the glory and the praise for it. And that's what I want to say about that. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, I enjoyed the time that we spent looking at this story and looking at Abigail and how she, you know, even though her husband wasn't doing the right thing, she decided, I'm not going to follow along the same plan that he's following. I'm not going to do what he's doing. And, you know, to me, it really shows that as a woman of God or as women of God, we don't have to do what they do. If your husband, your man of God, isn't doing what's right, you don't have to follow him in that. You have to know what's right and do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
If he decides to do wrong, you don't have to do the wrong that he's doing.
Amen.
You don't have to say, okay, well, he's going down, and I love him, so I'm going down with him. No, I'm not going to go down with you. I'm sorry. I'm going to be like Abigail. I'm going to live because you over here are deciding to die, and you can't make choices for people. And she could not make Nabal go and do what was right by David. Matter of fact, if you look at it like what I look at is, if she would have went to talk to him and said, well, honey, you know, David was right and, you know, we should do right by him because, you know, he did what was right by us, I don't think, you know, it would have been a good outcome for Abigail.
Hmm.
I believe that he would have became so angry and enraged against her even though she didn't do anything wrong and she wasn't saying anything wrong. But because he would have felt like, you on his side? You against me? I mean, come on, like, look at it. That's her husband.
Mm-hmm.
If she would have came and said, David is right.
Yes, are you going over my head? Oh, no.
Right. You know, as a wife, as a woman, you know, I don't see that conversation going well.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you can tell me, Minister Howell, but I don't see that conversation going good. I don't see her as his wife going, listen, honey, you know, we should really be good to him after he has already said, I'm not going to give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if she would have tried to be the voice of reason instead of acting in the wisdom of God when God used her through the Holy Ghost to do what was right and to save herself, I don't think it would have went well with her because then she would have became his enemy.
Uh-huh.
Just like when Saul recognized that Jonathan was with David instead of with him in the plan to kill David. What did Saul say to David? Well, how come my own son and my own house is conspiring against me? He wanted Jonathan to be on the same page with him in the wrong to kill David, even though David had done nothing wrong to him.
Mm.
And Nabal would have expected the same thing from Abigail. As his wife, to stand with him and by him in his wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if she would have come, in my mind, if she would have come and said, we're not doing what's right, we need to give him, you know, what he asked for because it's right, I don't see that going good. I don't see him saying, you know what, honey, you're right. I don't see him saying, okay, let's give David what David is supposed to have.
I don't see it happening.
I see him being so angry with her that she possibly could have died the same night by her husband's hand. Because the anger that he had toward David, he would have taken out on her because in his mind, she's fighting with the enemy, so she is his enemy too. Even though she's only trying to do what's right, she now has become his enemy in doing what is right. Because he has no intentions on doing right. So I feel that, you know what, she was a wise woman from beginning to end, and the Bible tells you she was a woman of good understanding because she knew what to do, how to do it, and she knew when to say what she had done. And it was a good thing that she didn't tell him, I'm about to take, you know, all of that stuff that she took to David, it was a lot. And she went in secret because her doing what she did saved her. If she would have said, okay, Nabal, I'm going to take 200 loaves of bread, after he just said, the bread is mine, the water is mine, and the flesh is mine, and who is David, who is the son of Jesse? And she said, listen, honey, I'm going to take 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 ready sheep dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs. If she would have told him what she was getting ready to do, she would have never made it in.
No, she wouldn't, because he said, you better put your hand on
it. She would have died.
We don't know David. Who is David?
No.
This is mine.
So she did what was best.
Yes, she
for
did.
Her, as well as him, because they were going to kill him, her, and everybody else. All the servants, the slaves, whatever you want to call them, they were all going to die the same night.
Yes.
Because of a decision that he made, the husband made. Because of the husband's decision, the wife was going to die. So it, you know, is important that you see in this story, sometimes you got to save yourself. If your husband is making a decision that you know is going to kill you and everybody else in the house, you can't go with him in that decision. It's not saying you're against your husband, but you're against the decision he's making. I can't follow you in doing something that I know is going to kill you and me. Either I'm going to decide to live or I'm going to decide I'm dying with you. And everybody else is going to die with you too. But I'm going to have to make a decision. I'm going with you into this mess that you're getting into. As I gave with the example of that story, getting in the car with him, with John, and he going over here to have this argument with somebody, with you and the children in the car. That's your decision to die, not to live. The right decision is to say, I'm not going with him. He's going to die. He's not going to live. He took a gun with him. That conversation is not going to end well. He's going to die. I'm going to die. The kid's going to die. We're all going to die because of his decision.
Amen.
Am I going to say, I love him, that's my husband, I'm going with him, and if I got to die, I'm dying with him? Because that's not a wise decision. I mean, you can look at it whatever way you want, but I'm not going. I'm staying home, or I'm leaving the house. If anybody try to come back and get me, I got to go. I can't live with the decision you're about to make. The decision that you, as my husband, is making will cause me to die.
Amen.
Because after they kill you, they
simple.
Won't just be satisfied with your death. They're going to come after me and the children. So now we all are going to die. Why? Because of you. And if I'm a wise woman, if I'm a virtuous woman, I'm not going to let me and my kids die with you. Somebody got to live. Why not me?
Oh, mama.
Why not the children? Somebody got to live. I can get another husband, right? I can't get another life.
Amen.
My children can't get another life.
Mm-mm.
We go with you, we all going to die. You go by yourself, if you die, I can still get another husband.
The one with good understanding.
Yes, one with good understanding. What is your early grave. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to make a decision for you and me that's going to call all of us to die.
Mm-hmm.
A wise woman, a virtuous woman, would decide to live.
Mm-hmm.
Not go with him because you love him. And he ain't loving you in life at that moment in that decision he's making. Every other decision he could have made up until that point could have been good, but that one right there is going to cause you to die. So why would I die with him? I would not die with him. I would live. I, myself, would have been like, Abigail, no, let me go meet you. Let me take you what you should have had in the first place. And none of this mess would have been happening. If Nabal would have sent those things that David was asking for, the whole situation, the whole scenario would have never taken place. David would have never decided in his mind that he was going to kill everybody if Nabal had have just given him what was rightfully due to him. He protected him. He protected his people. He protected everything that he had. And he did a good job. And you should have paid him what was due to him for the job that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, I don't owe you nothing. I don't have to give you nothing. I don't know. Who are you? Who's the son of David? Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Who is Jesse? You know, everything's mine. You know, I don't owe you anything. I'm keeping everything. And I'm not going to give you nothing. But all of that could have been avoided, though. He didn't have to die.
Amen.
He could have lived. He could have kept his wife and lived and kept everything that he had, but he made a decision. And, you know, as we like to say, your mouth writes a check that your body can't cash.
Mm-hmm.
His mouth got him in trouble because he decided, I don't like you. I don't know you. I don't owe you nothing. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter how you helped me. It doesn't matter how you made sure that I kept everything that belonged to me. I'm keeping everything. It still all belongs to me. And I'm not going to give you anything. That decision right there meant he decided at that moment that he wasn't going to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that Abigail decided to live.
Amen.
She decided, I'm going to do what's right. Even if my husband won't, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, when you get married, yes, two become one, but two don't have to die because of one decision.
Amen.
If you didn't make that same decision with him, you don't have to die with him.
Mm.
You can choose to live. You can decide to live.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this story has helped a lot of us, because I can be honest and say my husband does make wise decisions, and I thank God for that. But had this situation been my situation, oh, no, I'm not going with you to die. I'm sorry, I can't go with you.
Amen, amen.
I can try to stop you from going. Which if it was my husband, I would have, but I know that she, knowing her husband, couldn't do that. She couldn't talk to him. It even tells us up in the scripture that nobody could talk to him.
Mm.
You know, one of those people that nobody can tell nothing. So even if she would have tried to talk to him, it would not have helped him, because he was somebody that could not be helped.
Mm.
He was somebody that even if you tried to tell him something good, he wouldn't have received it.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm going to open Prophet's mic with the last few minutes we got left, see if he has anything to say. Prophet, man of God, you got anything you want to add?
Glory to God.
Prophet, are you there? Okay, maybe he has his phone on mute. Prophet Morgan, are you there?
Okay. I'm here.
Okay. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
No, not at this time. I just enjoyed the broadcast altogether.
Okay. Well, praise God. I thank God for that. we're about to close out. Minister Howell, any closing remarks?
No, we just have to be women of good understanding and wisdom, have wisdom in our, everything that we do. It will save our life in the end.
Amen. Sasha, anything you want to say before we close out?
Amen. Enjoy the broadcast.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to close out, and I'm going to pray us out. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the story that we've read, for the examples that we are about to learn from. And, Lord, let the story saturate our minds, bodies, souls, and spirits. Let us meditate on this word. Let us understand that we have to be women of wisdom and who have good understanding, and that understanding comes from you, that wisdom comes from you. Lord, let us always know that the answer that we seek comes from you, and you are the one who gives us the answer to whatever situation that concerns us. Lord, bless every man, woman, child, son, and daughter that will come and that will hear what you have said, your word, for we have read nothing but what comes out of your word, said nothing but what came from your word, so that you can get all the honor, glory, and praise, because it is not about us. It is not about what we want to say or what we have to say. It's all about you and your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who came back from death, and you resurrected him so that he could sit on your right hand, whose blood was shed so that we could be reconciled back to you, so that we didn't have to have eternal punishment and damnation. Father, it is all about you and none of me, nothing about me, nothing about what I want to do or have to say, but it is all about you. And today you receive all honor, glory, credit, and praise, because it's your word. It's your will. It's your wisdom. It is what you would have of us and none of what we would have of ourselves. So everything that you have allowed to be said here today was according unto your will, according unto what you would have us to learn, what you would have us to hear, how you would have us to know that we got to make decisions that will allow us to live, decisions that say we want to live, decisions that say I'm not going to stand idly by and agree and decide to do what's wrong. I'm going to agree and decide to do what is right. What is right according to your word, what is right according to your will, and what is right and pleasing in your sight. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your wisdom and everything that you do for keeping us alive, for protecting us, and for allowing us to see another day, because, Lord, it is your mercy and your grace that keeps us. It is your mercy and your grace that protects us. It is your that has allowed us to see another day. So we thank you and accept and receive from you every good gift. It is in Jesus' name that we thank you and we pray and we say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I thank you for everybody who came, everybody who listened, everybody who God has blessed, who he has spoken to through his word. And whatever you have learned today, you thank God for it. You give him all honor, glory, and credit because it's all of him and none of us. We live only to serve him and to learn from him and to receive from him because he is God and God alone all by himself. He doesn't need anybody to sit on the throne. He doesn't need anybody to receive his glory or his credit. He's God. He gets all glory, all credit, all praise, and worship belongs only to the true and living God. So we thank you. We love you. God bless you. May he continue to increase you and do what you need him to do in your life. God bless and have a wonderful evening. Good night, everybody.
Good night.